Well-Tempered Baroque is a production of the Classical Network. Funding for this program is provided by listener members like you. Please become a member at wwfm.org. Thank you. This is Well-Tempered Baroque, and I'm Dr. Lewis Barretts. Today, the music of Portugal, a country with a rich but not too well-known history. Portugal had a splendid musical culture during the medieval Galician period, which coincided with the troubadour era. But it was a late bloomer with respect to polyphony as compared to Spain, France, England, Italy, and Burgundy. Portugal was a seafaring society during the 15th century, the Age of Discovery. It led the world in the exploration of Africa, formed a sea route to India by way of the Cape of Good Hope, and explored the Azores and Brazil. The dark side of this was the destruction of countless lives for the exploitation of gold and the horrific human bondage trade and the spread of disease. In the late 14th century, the King of Castile claimed the throne of Portugal on behalf of his wife, but he was defeated by his wife's natural half-brother, John, who founded the Portuguese royal house of Aviz. Wisely, this John married a daughter of the English Prince John of Gaunt, thus adding English royal blood and a military alliance to his dynasty. One of their sons was Prince Henry the Navigator, who led Portugal's naval enterprises during the 15th century. Portugal had become a European power, but in 1578, 24-year-old King Sebastian, a great-great-great-great-grandson of John of Aviz, disappeared during battle in Morocco. His heir was his great-uncle Henry, a one-time archbishop and grand inquisitor of the realm, and now a cardinal. Needless to say, this did not bode well for the succession. Henry appealed to the Pope to release him from the church, but the denial of his request assured that Spain would triumph over Portugal. When the Cardinal King died only 2 years later, Philip II of Spain, a close relative of the preceding king, attacked, and Portugal surrendered on condition that it would remain a country independent from Spain, but with the same king. As a consequence, Portugal was forced to enter the war with Spain's enemies, the United Provinces and the Netherlands, and sadly break with its relations with its old friend England. The Portuguese endured, which eventually led to a revolt and the restoration of its own monarchy in 1640. Portugal had to rebuild its infrastructure and foreign relations, and it was time to reestablish its own cultural identity. Despite not having an independent chapel royal for 60 years, John IV set out to establish one of the largest music libraries in Europe. His manuscript and printed music collection was transferred to the Chapel Royal at Lisbon in 1649. By all accounts, it was impressive. but it did not survive the earthquake of 1755, and those manuscripts are gone. Owing to this natural disaster and the religious focus of the court, the surviving musical repertory is primarily sacred and is in the more conservative prima practica style. A composer of note who lived during the Spanish regime was Pedro de Cristo, who was born around 1550 and died in December 1618. De Cristo was an Augustinian from Coimbra. He played keyboards, harp, flute, and dulcian, and composed sacred music, motets primarily. His style is mostly prima practica, that is, in the Renaissance polyphonic tradition, although he did experiment with declamatory writing. We're going to hear his polyphonic setting of the Magnificat, performed by the choir of Westminster Cathedral under the direction of John O'Donnell.
Thank you.
We heard a Magnificat setting by the late Renaissance and early Baroque composer Pietro da Cristo, an Augustinian who was also an instrumentalist and composer during the time of Portugal's uneasy union as a dual kingdom. Manuel Cardoso was also one of Portugal's foremost composers of the Spanish period. He lived from 1566 to 1650, and despite his very long life, his surviving work consists only of three books of masses for 4 to 6 voices, two collections of motets, and a set of Marian songs. 5 masses, 9 sacred pieces, and 2 secular songs of his are lost. Cardoso was a member of the Carmelite convent in Lisbon, and later became Mestre de Capella. Later in life, he was honored by John IV, the Portuguese duke who led the successful rebellion against Spain and became king in 1640. Cardoso was hailed for his contrapuntal technique and for his scandal-free life. This is his motet Si Tivit Anima Mia, followed by his Lamentations for Maudy Thursday, which comprise 2 responsory and reading pairs. Once again, the choir of Westminster Cathedral, James O'Donnell directing.
Thank you.
We've been listening to the music of the Portuguese late Renaissance and early Baroque composer Manuel Cardoso. We heard his motet Si Tivit Anima Mia and his Lamentations for Maundy Thursday. The performance was by the choir of Westminster Cathedral, directed by James O'Donnell. Our third composer today was also a cleric. Felipe de Magalhães was born around 1571. He trained at the choir school of Évora Cathedral, becoming a salaried musician there around the time he turned 19. In 1602, he joined the Chapel Royal at Lisbon, then under the control of Philip III of Spain, who was also styled Philip II of Portugal. Magalhães was elevated to director of the Chapel Royal in 1623, and he lived long enough to see the Duke of Braganza's 1640 coup. 4 months later, Magalhães, aged about 70, retired and lived for another 11 years, enjoying full salary and a healthy ration of wheat. We'll hear the Kyrie, Gloria, and Credo from his Missa Delectus Meus for five voices, a representative work that demonstrates his acclaim. This is the William Byrd Choir, Gavin Turner, director.
Thank you.
We heard the Missa Delectus Meus for five voices of Portugal's celebrated composer Felipe de Magalhães. The performance was by the William Byrd Choir, Gavin Turner, director. You've been listening to Well-Tempered Baroque, and I'm Dr. Lewis Barrett. The music of Portugal during the 17th century was primarily sacred and in old-style polyphony. There's a great sense of religiosity and austerity in the music, which is not to say there aren't very beautiful episodes as the harmonies unfold. Let's continue with this next time and move into the 18th century and also hear some Portuguese keyboard music. Thanks for listening to my show today. And if you enjoyed the program, a production of the Classical Network, consider becoming a member of the Classical Network or a sponsor of this show. The Classical Network is a great friend to early music and also produces Distant Mirror, and indeed music of all eras. Visit us online at wwfm.org to learn more about our shows, to become a member, or to donate. And we're part of the Global Classical Network of Music Lovers, and it is this global network that is the Classical Network. I'm Dr. Lewis Barrett. Have a great week.